much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Mayor, what do you and your family, what plans do you have for the holidays?
Oh, thank you very much. Happy holidays to you as well.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Yeah, Eric, yeah, this is Mr. Khan, man. Listen, I want you to come to this holiday party with me, man. We've had some wrong parties in the past, so I want you to go to the second level of a broadcast building and meet me in the lobby, all right? We're going to have snacks and drinks and especially holiday cheer, all right? But we need some Dixie cups, man. We need plenty, all right? So go down to CBS and take care of that for me, all right? Yeah, man, holiday party. Mistletoe.
And now.
Beer mug sucks. Beer mug sucks. Beer mug really sucks. Beer mug sucks. Beer mug sucks. Fire him today. Seriously. For Christmas, fire Beer Mug.
Our feature presentation.
Well, that's a different caller than yesterday who wanted Beer Mug fired for the holidays.
Yeah. Same theme, different caller.
Seems to be the trend going on here is make everybody happy for Christmas by just letting Beer Mug go.
I don't like it.
Hey, party people, welcome on into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Tuesday, the 17th of December. Did I hear talk, Lisa, as you walked in the room, that you may have already seen the Anchorman 2 movie?
I went last night. You know, they had that special thing at the AMC where you could buy tickets and then you got the download and they send you that. Yes, so I saw it last night.
Bitchin'.
It was hilarious. You will not be disappointed.
Well, how could it not be?
I know, but people were worried. I don't know why people were worried. There's such an amazing cast and it was just... I loved it, every second of it.
Oh,
it was great.
So excited. Yeah. I mean, look, we've been talking about this movie, I feel like, for a year. Well, we had Adam McKay on to announce that there was going to be an Anchorman 2, remember, back when they were just starting the script. And it seems like every day since then, we've talked about how much we can't wait for it. And it's finally, for the rest of us, almost here tomorrow. So
yeah, lots of homages to the first movie. There's going to be lots of lines that people will quote to you.
You can't wait to see it again.
No, I can't. Because people were laughing on some of the lines. So I have to go back and see it again.
Oh, that's so great. I'm so happy to hear that. You're the first person I've spoken with or read. You know, I haven't read any reviews of anyone who's actually seen the movie.
It's kind of delicious to be one of the first.
That's great.
This thing goes on for inches.
That's what I understand. Well, here's an interesting story. The one thing I learned from Orange is the New Black is that everyone in prison is convinced they're innocent and it's wrong and it's a mistake and they shouldn't be there.
Yes.
But here's a story. I'll let you be the judge. Annabelle Cruz is her name. She's driving through Lehigh County, Pennsylvania on November the 13th, just last month. She's got her companion, Alexander Bernstein, in the car. It doesn't say in the article what their relationship is. She's pulled over for going 5 miles over the speed limit.
Well, that's BS.
Interstate 78, by the way.
Come on. We'd all get pulled over if that were the case.
The unidentified state trooper asked Cruz if he could search the vehicle after he smelled pot in the car. The woman acknowledged that she had smoked a joint before leaving New York City, and she did allow her vehicle to be searched. In the trunk, the state trooper discovered 2 bricks wrapped in clear plastic and sealed with red tape. The trooper allegedly performed a field test on the package and concluded that they were two-pound bricks of cocaine on their way to be sold. The woman behind the wheel, Annabelle Cruz, says, no, it's homemade soap. I made that soap, and I'm taking it with me to give to a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But the officer found a small amount of marijuana hidden in her bra, so both she and Bernstein, the passenger, were charged with possession with intent to deliver cocaine, possession of cocaine, conspiracy, and possession of drug paraphernalia, also slapped with a marijuana possession charge and a traffic violation for 5 miles over the limit. They get sent to jail. She gets $250,000 bond. He $500,000.
Okay, go ahead.
They don't have that kind of money. It takes them a month to get that kind of money. Last week, they got out of jail on bail, okay? The next day, all of the charges were completely dropped as a state police lab confirmed that the bricks were full of soap. There was no cocaine. It took a month of them in jail because of that crazy bail. And then it was found out that they were telling the truth and it was soap and it wasn't cocaine. So now the whole thing, now they've got an attorney and they're asking lots of questions about the arrest, asking if it had something to do with her being Hispanic. Of course, somebody has to bring that up. They're thinking about suing the police department
Someone
now.
Someone should be sued. You don't lose a month of your life like that. That's insane.
A young man spent a month in jail, spent a substantial amount of money to get out of jail, and missed Thanksgiving with his 17-month-old son, is what they said. They're also unclear whether the trooper even performed a field test, as he claimed at the time, or whether it was just an assumption because it looked like cocaine. It was cocaine. After this, the attorney says everyone should pause about jumping to conclusions when a field test is said to be positive by law enforcement. There are people going to jail on high bail amounts based on these field tests. How often, though, is it soap? You know what I mean?
Right. But how often do you go, yeah, search away, if it's not soap?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a sticky case, but I'm sure that there were a lot of people at the police department who were surprised when the lab results came back and it turned out that it wasn't bricks of cocaine. And I think I have a feeling that the officer on the scene, his opinion was colored by the fact that she was a known drug user because mm-hmm. of the marijuana. Mm-hmm. So for him, maybe this is how his mind works, it wasn't that much of a stretch to think that she might also be into something harder.
Yes. If you have had a joint, chances mm-hmm. are you are selling cocaine.
You are an international drug dealer.
Yes,
exactly.
That's probably true.
So anyway, one of those cases where somebody says, I shouldn't be here, I didn't do it, and in fact, she shouldn't have been there, and she didn't do it. So it'd be interesting to see if there's a follow-up to find out what the result is of that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Amin Show, shall we?
My nipples are so hard.
I'm right there with you, sister. We got a hell of a show. In fact, Lisa, your friend David Koechner is going to be on the program today. Speaking of Anchorman 2,
awesome.
He is champ in the movie. Is he great?
He's great. Love him.
Also, we'll talk to the executive producer of that new show that we've been telling you about plastic surgery. It's called Botched. This is the show that you go to if you've had plastic surgery. You know, they screwed up your facelift or your tummy tuck or whatever it is, and they'll try to fix it for you. That sounds like an awesome show. It's debuting next year on E!, so we'll talk to the man behind that program. Top 10 lists continue on the Kevin and Bean Show as we wind down 2013. Today, we're going to hear the top 10 Internet Roundup videos of the whole year.
That's exciting.
That's a great batch right there. Let me see. We got that. And got a little Christmas music for you for you also on today's program. And we've got a phenomenal story about one of Santa's reindeer who made a run for it. So all of that plus Ralph's Showbiz Beat when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know who's the Ralph Garman remix.
I like that last note.
You know who's the coolest is Travis Barker from Blink-182.
Okay.
He is.
I love that guy.
All right.
Just love him. Anyway, he stopped by very late in the show yesterday. You probably, if you're listening now, we're not listening then. We have highlights of that talk coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Why don't you listen the whole time? If you listen here this time, you should be listening late in the show, too. Whatever it is you're doing in the morning, it's so important to you. It's not. This is important. Just listen to us.
It's called work. I think people have work, maybe. They have
places to go. Stop making excuses for people, Bean. If we don't confront them with the truth, they'll never get better. Start listening at 5:54 a.m. and then listen until 9:54 a.m. Is that so much to ask? Just do that.
Okay. All right.
Damn.
Noted.
People. Damn, people. It's Tuesday. You know what day that is?
Mm-hmm.
New IHOP. Release day.
Ugh, oh.
IHOP.
And IHOP.
Just two more days, Ralph. Just two more days. Hold on. Hold on. You can do it. New CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD released on Tuesdays. And because it is the holiday gift-giving season, wow, there's a lot of stuff for you to buy.
Can't wait. Tell me. I haven't seen the list yet.
Starting with Underground Luxury by B.O.B.
Oh, I'll probably pick that one up.
Oh, good. Shangri-La by Jake Bugg.
Absolutely.
Oh, Jake Bugg.
Love him.
Me too. Can't get enough of him. Jake Bugg.
I saw him.
And his backup band, the Bugaloos. Oh, they're great.
When I was in Britain over the summer, I actually saw him in concert.
Me
How about
too.
That?
I
Jake
did Bugg. Too. Don't tell me. I'm a part of his fan club. The Bugaloos.
You're a Bugalo?
I'm a Bugalo. Anchorman 2, the legend continues, music from the motion picture. You want the soundtrack to Anchorman 2? You can get that today.
Great music.
Lisa's already seen
it. I have seen it.
It's delicious. DVDs available today. Kick-Ass 2, how about that?
Yes, I haven't seen that.
See, you can get that now and you can watch it.
Great.
The Family, the comedy about the mobsters who get witness relocated with Robert De Niro and Diana Agron and Michelle Pfeiffer.
That one came and went.
Prisoners, this movie.
I don't think I can.
Huge, huge critical acclaim for this film. Good box office numbers, too. Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, Paul Dano.
A lot of people thought Hugh got ripped off by not getting an Oscar nomination for that.
Yeah. I can't watch it. I can't watch it. Having a small daughter myself, I can't watch this film.
Two-tenths.
I will never see it, but please enjoy. It's apparently very good. Elysium with my buddy Matt Damon. My good friend Matt Damon. Never met
him. You're friends with him, are you, Pat O'Brien?
Never met him, but I dig him the most. Jodie Foster, Charlotte Copley, of course. The Lone Ranger with Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer. Available today as well. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
Wow.
One Direction, This Is Us.
Oh, Bean.
Oh! I'll definitely pick that up.
Look, I love...
I want to see my One Direction, my 1D.
I'm not a big 1D fan.
You are.
I'm not. I'm not a big fan of
them. You want to bang all five of them at the same
time.
Or
the Wanted. I don't really care for either one of them. But I do like Morgan Spurlock as a filmmaker. I might watch that if it were on TV, but I don't think I need to own it.
You want to have a good laugh? The Sound of Music Live is available on DVD. You can kick back and watch, watch Carrie Underwood just drown in her own lack of talent. Good times. TV shows on DVD, Justified, the complete fourth season. Boy, I like that Timothy Oliphant. He's a good actor. Burn Notice, season 7. Psych the Musical. We were just talking about Psych the Musical. And now it's on DVD. And Shameless, the complete third season. So all of that available today for you to buy for your loved ones. And make great stocking stuffers, you know.
I was thinking the same thing. I mean, the good news is they're just now coming out. So you can probably find somebody on your Christmas list who doesn't know they're out yet and surprise them.
Exactly. While we're talking about awards, great story from Susan Sarandon, one of my favorite actresses. She revealed to Andy Cohen, who's the host of that show, Watch What Happens Live on Bravo, that she finds award ceremonies like the Golden Globes or the People's Choice Awards deadly dull. And she admitted on his show that she's shown up to every award show she's ever attended completely stoned. Just higher than a kite. With the exception of the Oscars. She said that one she went sober to. Because that meant something. But the rest
smoke
of them...
Smoke weed every day.
Rest of them just blasted. Just out of her head high. So good. Julia Roberts has a new movie coming out. August, Osage County is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
She was on the red carpet for the premiere of that film when she got very nervous and very starstruck. Because she spotted on the red carpet the Kings of Leon... Can you imagine that? You're Julia Roberts and you get starstruck because Kings of Leon's
that's
on the red
carpet.
That's a surprise.
She has an enormous soft spot for the group. She's a huge fan. And she was seen running up to them requesting a photo with them. It's got to feel pretty good if you're Kings of Leon and Julia Roberts comes up like a blushing schoolgirl and says, can I take a picture with you guys?
Yeah.
Airtight!
Hope they said no.
Oh, that would be so cool. Get away from us. We're the Kings of Leon.
Old lady.
We were just talking about One Direction and Bean's boyfriend, Harry Styles, who Bean has admitted he wants to have sex with.
I've never said a word about
it. Like 2 minutes ago.
All the time you say it.
All I've said is that kid needs a haircut. That's the only thing I've ever said about Harry Styles.
And I'd like to give it to him in the nude. Why don't you talk about that part? Why don't you mention that part that you said afterwards? And then I want to roll around in his hair, you said. Remember?
Plus, I now that you mention it, I think I don't like Harry Styles because I think he may have been mean to my Taylor Swift. So he's not on my good list anyway.
Well,
but what's he up to?
A British judge has ordered paparazzi to stay away from him. Which I think this is how we should handle the paparazzi. Get restraining orders that require them to stay a certain distance away because they're just out of control. Hollywood Reporter has the story, says that photographers cannot pursue him on motorcycles or in cars. They cannot place him under surveillance by loitering or waiting within 50 meters, that's 164 feet, of his home. So the British legal system, I think getting a good handle on how to keep these photographers at bay by refusing to allow them to hunt you down by a motorcycle or by car or to just wait outside your house and snap pictures of you everywhere.
Yeah, America is a little bit more into freedom of the press, I think, than a lot of other countries are.
I don't think you're restricting the freedom of the press. You're just restricting how they go about getting their... I mean, there are rules and regulations about reporting. You know, you have to go through certain channels in order to get information. You can't just break into someone's office and steal information because you're a journalist and you're going to put it in an article. You know, you have to go through proper
right.
channels, and I think that we just need to create a series of proper channels for these photographers that doesn't give them free reign over people's lives.
In a real world situation, the British way is much better. I think I don't think our country would ever adopt anything like that, though.
I'm moving because I cannot handle the paparazzi anymore. I'm waiting outside the studio when I come here every morning, it's just embarrassing. Today's celebrity birthdays, biggest list of birthdays. There are more people born on December 17th than in any other time in the history of mankind.
Wow.
It's nuts. I'm not even going to give you birth dates or ages. I'm just going to burn through this name because it's like 407 people born today.
Jeez.
Actor Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters. Hardball host Chris Matthews. Actor-comedian from SCTV, Eugene Levy. Bill Pullman. Producer-director Peter Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers. Mike Mills, bassist for R.E.M. Actress Lori Holden. Chuck Liddell of the UFC. Actor Sean Patrick Thomas. Giovanni Ribisi. Sarah Paulson. Mila Jovovich. Manny Pacquiao.
Good Lord.
Jennifer Carpenter of Dexter. Ben Goldwasser of MGMT. And Taylor York, guitarist for Paramore. All celebrating birthdays today.
That's pretty crazy.
That's ridiculous. Some people are going to have to go. I don't know. I got to make some cuts before.
I think Mike Mills from REM may be the first to say goodbye.
Go, Bean. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Do you care?
Yeah, I feel fine. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I get that I don't sound like the guy in Bastille. I understand that. Noted. Hey, party people, welcome on into another Kevin and Bean Show. This time for a Tuesday morning. It is the most wonderful time of the year with Santa at the mall. And this story from Dillon, Colorado last week. Santa Claus, Lisa, shows up for the tree lighting ceremony at a Colorado mall known as La Riva in Dillon, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
While he's inside with the kids and everybody's having a great time, one of Santa's reindeer outside the mall makes a break for it.
Oh, no.
They spend a day trying to find this reindeer. He's all over town. He swims across the river. He's wandering throughout the night and most of the next day, taking in the beauty of the area. They finally were able to catch him, but he went on some sort of a sightseeing spree. There's a reindeer running around Dillon, Colorado for a day.
That reindeer needs to be set free.
I think he does. Well, we wanted to find out what happened with the breakout and what's going on with the reindeer now. No name in the article, but I understand producer Dave has been able to line him up, and I think we have him on the phone in Colorado right now. Hello, Mr. Reindeer.
Hello, Mr. Reindeer. The name's Blitzen. Get it right. Wow.
I'm sorry. It's nowhere in the article does it say which of Santa's reindeer was missing. Hi, Blitzen. How are you today?
I'm not good. How are you?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that because this is supposed to be the happiest time of the year. I would think that you would love being able to be out there with Santa Claus spreading cheer to all the kids around the world.
Yeah, it's good for you. Good for you because you get presents from some fat guy. But you know what? For us, for the reindeer, for the eight of us, it's no day at the park. And I finally made a break for it, and now here I am in jail, still in Colorado.
Aww.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Get away from me. Get away from my ass. Try to make me his bitch. I'm not going to go for it.
Yeah, you don't want that at all. So
somebody makes Blitzen a bitch, you hear me?
So you're in jail right now? Why aren't you back with Santa and the other reindeer preparing for the big ride?
Because I'm a political prisoner. Because I tried to make a statement about how reindeer should be free and shouldn't be hauling some fat guy's ass around in a sleigh. But no, they don't want to give me a political asylum, so now I'm in jail until Christmas Eve when a fat guy is going to strap me to a sleigh and make me pull him through the air, by the way. I'm not going to run to the ground like other reindeer. I got to pull him through the freaking air around the world. That seem fair to you? And you know what I get paid for it?
What?
Carrots!
It does seem like a difficult job, but isn't there something magical about being part of Santa's journey every year?
Yeah, it's magical for the kids, for the little rat-faced children who sit on his lap and say, oh, give me this, give me that, the selfish little bastard children. It's great for them, but it's not great for the reindeer. You know, hey, you.
Yes, Blitzen.
You're one of those people I bet say, let's not put the whale in SeaWorld. Let's not shave rabbits for Angora fur.
Yes.
You're probably one of those people, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Absolutely, of course, yes.
Oh, well, how about reindeer? How about eight reindeer having to pull a 400-pound man through the air every year around the world? How about some animal rights for us?
You're right.
I thought there was something kind of magic about the way you guys work. Like, it doesn't look that difficult for you and the other reindeer to pull the sled.
I tell you what. Get a 400-pound fat elf. Put him in a sleigh. Tie some leather straps to your face. And then you pull him through the air. And then you tell me if it's difficult or not. But, you do it right now.
When I watch the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer special, it always looks like the reindeer are honored to be part of Santa's posse.
Oh, do you? Well, everyone knows that's a freaking documentary, right? You know what? I'm not made out of clay. I don't walk around like a little clay thing that they pose, and I don't go and find a magical abominable snowman and pull his teeth out, and I don't hang out with an elf who's a dentist, okay? This is real life. Free the reindeer!
Doesn't sound like there's a lot of Christmas spirit happening with you, Blitzen. I think you need a long nap.
I love Christmas as much as the next guy. You know I'd like to spend Christmas? With my freaking family! That's what I'd like to do. Not pulling a fat guy around, handing out free crap to obnoxious little kids who don't even deserve it. I'm not going to put up with it.
This is really...
I'm making a break. I said jailbreak!
Oh, you're going for it again?
Jailbreak!
Oh, my God!
Blitzen's
going for it.
Whoa.
Blitzen, you all right? Jeez. That's a lot of firepower. Santa brought him a lot of machine guns. Blitzen?
Oh, God. I'm wounded.
Oh, no.
They got me right in the scent sack.
Our long national nightmare is almost over. Life without Anchorman 2 comes to a close. Tomorrow, when the movie opens everywhere, we'll talk to one of the stars of the film, David Koechner, in just a few minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, it's end of the year. We only have a couple shows left today and tomorrow here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're looking back on the year that was, and now it's time for another top 10 list. This time, the top 10 Kevin Bean Internet Roundup videos of 2013.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
The top 10 of 2013.
Every year there are more and more viral videos, which makes Dave, the King of Mexico's job, even harder because Dave's the one who watches them all and puts together the roundup videos every week. What do you think of this? What do you think of this week and this year, rather, in general, Dave?
Oh, man, one of the best years ever. I mean, looking back on doing this list, I was crying looking at some of these videos. And I think we forgot about some and how great they were.
Yeah, some of them, especially from the beginning of the year that we haven't seen in a while. But let's count them down, starting at number 10 with our friend Jimmy Kimmel. This was the video where he suckered the entire world in. Remember, he had the girl who was twerking and then fell down onto a glass coffee table?
Yes.
And then the entire thing was revealed to be a Jimmy Kimmel stunt from the beginning. In fact, the longer version of the video that was eventually unveiled on Jim's show showed that he was actually there and saving her when they filmed it. Listen up.
A video of a young woman named Caitlin Heller, who's now very famous for a video in which her haphazard twerking led to sending herself aflame.
Thanks, Jimmy Kimmel.
All part of the job, man.
That's right. I forgot she caught on fire, too.
Just a reminder that me and Lisa knew it was fake, but totally. We did not know it was Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
Yeah, Jimmy snowed us all with that one. Yeah, that was awesome.
Prank the internet.
Bad lip reading does always great videos, but you selected an outstanding one to come in at number 9. This is the NFL edition. So when you're watching the video, you see actual NFL players during the game and on the sidelines. But believe me, this isn't what they're saying.
I can't,
yes,
dude.
You can. Let's freaking burn that guy. Hit him on the eyeball. Hey, don't offend me.
Can I have this sloth? A skunk. I mean, I can't believe there's a manhole and he fell in it.
I want it now. I want cake now.
How do deaf people actually read lips? If you can do a video like this, it just shows you that things look exactly the same, the real things they're saying versus the fake things, right?
Yeah.
Pretty incredible. Amazing. Zach Galifianakis has a feature called Between Two Ferns, and every single one of his videos this year was great. But I think, Dave, you selected a great one. This was the Oscar Buzz edition. He sat down with everybody, a lot of the, you know, half a dozen actors that were nominated for Oscars last year. And I think the clip that we have is him talking to Jennifer Lawrence.
So you played in a movie called The Hunger Games.
Isn't that your life story?
You shouldn't say that. That's off-putting.
You should be off-putting. You're fat. You shouldn't eat any more pudding.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gets worse from there. Mr. Epic Man comes in at number 7. Dave, how would you describe how animals eat their food?
Let's see. Mr. Epic Man is with this comedy troupe that they just show you how the animals eat their food. And it's messy. It's not clean, you know? And this is probably my favorite of the top 10, and it made me cry.
I want to see how animals eat their food.
Yeah, tell you on the video which animals they're doing, but you're right. They're not meat eaters, that's for sure. At number six, how quickly we forget Kai. He was the hitchhiker who you remember was, he tried to save somebody. There was some sort of a accident or something, and somebody tried to beat somebody up, and Kai was there on the scene trying to save somebody. And for a while, he was a hero, and he turned into a great viral video when they took his after the accident interview and remixed it.
So I ran up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash. Yeah, yeah. If he started driving that car again, there'd be a hell of a lot of parties around here.
Forgot about Kai.
That's the Gregory brothers who do great work.
Yes.
Yeah, they're awesome. Number five, it doesn't seem like anybody can ever get any kind of surgery anymore without having a family member turn a video camera on them. And that's why you get this girl sitting in the back seat of her car on the way home from the dentist. She's so sad because apparently she realizes she murdered her wisdom teeth.
I'm just flying right in my mouth. I would have kept you. I loved you from the moment.
Honey, teeth are okay.
But they're dead. They were just trying to help me chew. And I didn't accept them.
They were just trying to help me chew, and I didn't accept them. She's awesome. Number four, I don't know how this became a trend, but we're counting down the top 10 Internet Roundup videos of 2013. Number four is a compilation video of goats yelling like humans. They sure sound like people.
They do.
Number three is probably my favorite of the year, and this is the crazy lady who a neighbor comes up to while she's stealing rhubarbs out of her yard, and they get into a shouting match about whose property it is and who has the right to those vegetables that are being grown, and I just love this lady so much. You've never met a more foul-mouthed, crazy neighbor than this woman talking about the rhubarbs.
This is not your property. Go somewhere else.
This is not my property.
You go mind your own business.
No, you just don't know what's right or wrong, do you?
You're f***ing
you like to steal.
You stick your nose in everybody's f***ing business. This is goddamn alley property, bitch.
No, it's not.
This don't have your name on it.
And it goes on like that for like 4 minutes. It's the best.
Kevin's girlfriend's awesome.
When you hear number two in the top 10 Internet Roundup videos of 2013, you're going to start scratching your head and think, if this is number two, what can number one be? But number two is our little Norwegian friends known as Elvis.
What does the fox say? What the fox say?
That was inescapable in 2013. I mean, it's gonna be on everyone's mixtape for the calendar year just passed as an actual hit song, isn't it? All right, Lisa, any thoughts as to what number one might be if we're at Elvis and he's number two?
Because I loved Elvis.
Yep.
I don't
number
know.
Number one, it's going to take you back a few months, but you'll never forget it again when you hear what number one is in the top 10 Internet Roundup videos of 2013. Please enjoy.
They do the Harlem Shake.
Of course.
Yeah.
Everybody did a Harlem Shake video in
2013. We had a debate of which was the biggest hit. Was it Elvis or the Harlem Shake? And the Harlem Shake was just so white hot that it had to be number one.
Yeah.
And actually ranked at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 when it was out, too, by the way, the Harlem Shake did.
Yeah, because all those views,
Everybody from the Miami Heat to the Kevin and Bean Show did their own Harlem Shake videos. But you can see all of these videos, all 10, at KevinandBean.com or KRock.com. And don't forget, when you go and check out the Internet Roundup section, you can also see all of the videos from the past, too. So if there's any that you missed throughout the year, they're all up there as well, too. There it is, your top 10 for 2013.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll tell you about a TV show where you can go to have bad plastic surgery corrected. It is called Botched, and it's coming to E! In 2014. So if you need the plastic surgery, we're going to hook you up. Also, your old friend Mr. Koechner is going to be joining us right after the top of the hour. Ralph?
Love Dave. He's been so busy this year. We've barely been able to hang out because he had a pilot he was doing, a TV show, and then, of course, Anchorman 2 coming out. He's a busy man.
Right. Well, we'll find out all about Anchorman 2 coming up right off the top of the air. First, though, Russ got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
First, let me say, I've had an assful of people in the other room, in that office there that
really?
I sit in.
Who's wearing you down?
Well, it's producer Dave, the King of Mexico, and associate producer Christine both have some sort of horrible freaking plague that they're in the other room just hacking up small furry owls, and things are coming out of their noses and their mouths in there, and it's like a freaking petting zoo. And I have a day and a half before my vacation. I'm almost over the wall. And they're coming in spreading their filth and their disease. And if I get sick, if I'm sick over my holiday, someone's going to go down.
Yeah, if they ruin Christmas for you.
I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. Someone's going to get physically hurt if I get sick from these people. What is wrong with these people?
What do you want them to do? Stay home?
Yes! That's exactly what I want them to do. Quarantine themselves.
Well, I'm sure you don't have to ask twice. I'm sure they're packing up their stuff right now to leave.
I wish it were so. No, we have to stay here and do work. Freaking TB ward in there. It's great.
Not my fault.
Loving the time of cholera there in the office. Thank you so much.
Good luck with that.
People.
Let's get Dr. Drew in here to give us vitamin B12 shots or something to get us over the hump.
Or some propofol. Like to see both of them get a big bag of propofol. Conrad Murray still got his license, doesn't he?
I don't think so.
Let's bring Dr. Murray in here.
I think he lost it.
Put him down for a nap, if you know what I'm saying. Is this thing on? We just heard Lorde.
Yes.
Just announced that she is doing a theater tour in 2014. She just announced her headlining theater tour.
Oh, wow.
Kicks off in Austin, Texas on March the 3rd. Bean, you like Austin, don't you?
I love Austin. Yeah. Except for the effing ants.
Sure. And then winds up in Oakland, California on March the 26th. So just a quickie tour next March. The trek also includes two nights at New York's Roseland Ballroom, which is an awesome place to see an artist if you get a chance. That's March 11th and 12th. That venue, by the way, is going to close down for good 2 weeks later.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
7 shows from Lady Gaga, and then it's all over. Lorde also said she's already writing tunes for her next album, and she releases a brand new track. She released, rather, a brand new track last week called No Better. So she's a very busy, talented lady. I'm a big fan. While we're talking about music, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has revealed their list of inductees for the class of 2014. These are the people who are actually getting in. Nirvana. Well, I think they've earned it. Peter Gabriel. Hall and Mother Effin' Oates.
What a surprise that is.
Indeed. But I'm thrilled for those cats.
I mean, I know how successful they are, but most people don't put them in any kind of a list of great rock stars or rock singers.
And yet,
rock musicians.
I love their songs. Their hits are just... When I hear one of the songs come on the radio, I just crank it up and I really enjoy it. So I'm glad to hear them.
I like them too, but I mean, I just mean in terms of... I mean, I guess it depends on what your interpretation of rock music is. I mean, to me, they're a great pop act. I don't know if they've got any rock in them at all.
Yeah, but there's a lot. There's disco acts in the Hall of Fame. There's the rap.
Sure. I know. It's a pretty broad definition, right?
It is. Cat Stevens. Another guy, you wouldn't exactly call him rock, would you?
Right.
Linda Ronstadt. Glad to see that she's getting the nod. And the band Kiss has finally made its way into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yay!
So congratulations to two members of Kiss who will be allowed to show up. The other ones are banned.
A lot of people thought that would never happen. A lot of people mocked the idea of Kiss even being considered. But I'm happy to see it. They are one of the best-selling rock bands of all time. I mean, not that that's only part of the equation, but, they certainly influenced a lot of people, too.
Gene Simmons says he is thrilled for the award and will be selling T-shirts out of the back of his car in the parking lot for the event. So,
I don't doubt that at all.
Be able to make a couple extra bucks there, Gene. Today's celebrity birthdays, it's a lengthy list, so I'm not going to do ages for you. I'm just going to burn through all these celebrities who were born today on December the 17th. Actor Ernie Hudson, best known for his work in Ghostbusters, I would assume. Mm-hmm. He's had a long and fruitful career. Chris Matthews, host of Hardball. Eugene Levy, one of my favorite actors, you know, from all the Chris Guest movies, also SCTV. Bill Pullman. Peter Farrelly of the directing, writing, producing Farrelly Brothers. Mike Mills, bassist for R.E.M., actress Lori Holden. Chuck Liddell of the UFC. Sean Patrick Thomas, very talented actor. Giovanni Ribisi, who, of course, can be seen on Dads on Fox, but he was in Ted, and will be seen next year in Seth MacFarlane's new comedy, A Million Ways to Die in the West. Sarah Paulson, Mila Jovovich, Manny Pacquiao, the pride of the Philippines, Jennifer Carpenter from Dexter, Ben Gold. No bell for Jennifer Carpenter?
What do you think?
I think she's hot.
Boy, she's one of those who catch her on the right day, maybe.
Yeah. And she's so skinny.
But they dress her way down for Dexter. They're trying to make her look all copy and stuff, you know? But she's a very lovely girl. Ben Goldwasser of MGMT and Taylor York, guitarist for Paramore. Oh, Paramore. I love them, even though I give everyone diseases. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, that felt good. That was nice. Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on the program. I feel like ever since the day that Adam McKay came on our show, Ralph, and announced that Anchorman 2 was going to be made, I feel like every day since then, we've wanted to see it that day. Like, every day we wake up and go, why isn't it here yet? Where's Anchorman 2?
And given that sensibility, given how we all feel, isn't it insane how hard it was for everybody involved to get this greenlit in order to get this production on its feet? It's so silly that Paramount dragged their feet for so long to get it up and running.
Yeah, it's one of the great mysteries of Hollywood. And as frustrated as we were, how do you imagine Champ Kind felt? The great David Koechter joins us on the phone from Anchorman 2, back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Dave.
Hi, Mr. Koechter.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, sir.
Doing great. What was it like for you? You heard us just talking about how frustrating it was for us, the fans, to wait for so long for a sequel. What was it like for you as a man who probably was really looking forward to making another film?
I was busy making kids instead.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a lot of fun, actually.
Every year it didn't happen, I would just have another baby.
Just to fill that hole inside your heart?
Fill that hole, because it's twice as funny to have a kid.
It really is.
To be honest, I didn't think about that much. Either it was going to happen or it wasn't. I can't control it, so I don't really focus on it.
Yeah.
And it's not like you were a guy who was struggling for work. I mean, you're one of the hardest working actors in Hollywood. As you are so fond of saying, you have so many goddamn kids that you can't turn a job down. So you've stayed busy.
You've seen what I've done.
Last night were these special fancy Fandango $33 evenings that fans finally got a chance to see it for the first time. And I'm reading some of the first reviews, Keck. I don't know if you've seen them or not, but Forbes, for instance.
Fan reviews?
No, these are fan reviews from people who saw the movie for the first time last night, because this is an advanced package that they offered. Listen to this line from Forbes. Possibly the biggest jump in quality between installments for a comic franchise since Adam's Family Values. There you go.
Wow.
That's saying something, huh, Dave?
What they're saying is that as good as Anchorman was, look out for Anchorman 2. Now tell me what you think about the movie, David.
Well, you know, being so inside, I can't tell. I mean, I know we had a blast every day. You hope it's as good or better. I know that Adam and Will were determined to, you know, make sure it was different and weird and took people places they were not expecting. So it sounds like that happened.
Yeah, I read the Variety review yesterday, and they could not have been more glowing, saying how much fun
really?
And what a good time. Yeah, it's really getting well received. And as we've been talking about, people have just dying to see this film. I knew they had to move up the release date because people were so excited about
it.
Yeah. I do know that, you know, we've done the press junket in Dublin and London and here in Australia, and I got to tell you, every reporter would come in and go, "Ooh, I was so relieved." They were more nervous than we were. It was good. So that's been funny.
Well, I saw it last night, and I can certainly say that no one will be disappointed at all.
Good.
I thought it was I thought it was funnier than the first one. That's just me, but I loved it.
Well, I know that I know that you have done a tremendous amount of press for this movie, but no one has ever promoted a movie more in the history of films than Will Ferrell has done for this movie. What do you make of the way Ron Burgundy has been everywhere in 2013?
That's just filling demand. And guess what? You know, I think I talked to Will, and it hasn't been as much Ron Burgundy as people think. It's just now everything gets picked up and pushed out 10 more times.
That's true.
And then, of course, they're running the Dodge commercials, and then everyone's watching them again and again and again online. So there's that perception. But I think the number of times that he's actually gone out as Ron is not as great in numbers people perceive it to be.
Well, he gets extra credit for going to North Dakota in the winter to anchor an actual newscast.
Yeah. And then Winnipeg to call a curling match.
To call a curling match.
No,
what about
Ferrell,
you?
He's amazing.
He is amazing. There's a guy who deserves an Academy Award, Ralph, right? Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
No question.
No one can do what Will Ferrell does. Yep. Speaking of publicity, a couple weeks ago, you and the whole gang dropped Paul Rudd and Steve Carell and Will, and you guys dropped in on Saturday Night Live. Are your kids of the right age, David, that you got some extra credit for singing on stage on television with One Direction?
I'll go one better. I brought my 12-year-old daughter.
Oh, you are such a hero.
I'm the happiest guy in the world.
I bet.
To me, that paled in comparison to doing anything else. I got to bring Margo out. We were rehearsing in Will's room with One Direction, rehearsing the song, and she was right beside me, and I was like, this is the greatest moment of my life that she gets to have this. Last year, she had 271 pictures of One Direction in her room.
Oh, my God.
She would come up to me at least once a week, Dad, guess how many One Direction pictures I have? Guess 271. So that was pretty
remarkable. That's unbelievable. And we hear this all the time from people such as yourself who are, you know, very famous and have a lot of fans and a big career. And to your kids, you're nothing. You're just dad, right? So that does nothing for them that you're David Koechner. But the fact that you know One Direction, all of a sudden you're the world's greatest dad.
Yep. Well, I guess, because she's been pretty tight-lipped about it. Inside, I'm sure she's just bursting, but she doesn't yammer on about it. She's just very excited, and put that event's over now, so now it's back to mass.
That's right. On to the next thing. Hey, Dave, I was watching the trailers for the film and some of the footage we've seen. I was wondering, did you guys play more shooting this go-around than last time in terms of improvising and the four of you when you all work together, which creates such magic when you guys do that?
Well, Adam's done this thing where he now will sit behind a monitor with a microphone, and there's speakers near the set, and since we're shooting digital, you don't have to cut because it's not film.
Right.
So you just keep rolling. We do 20-minute takes, and then Adam will throw out dialogue. You're welcome to throw out dialogue. This is after we've covered the script 3 or 4 times.
Right.
Like, we've got the scene shot. They're happy with it. Now let's just play. And I think what that really does is it tunes our performance. Like, you really have to super focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be one of those things that makes this a little bit more unique, because inside your engine's burning as much coal as you've got to offer. Because you're just going, what? Listen, my turn, okay. I mean, no one's trying to start. It's like you just got to keep drumming.
Yep.
It's like, how about that? It's a comedy drum circle.
and we heard at one point, tell me if this is true, that there's so much of that extra footage that they're going to put out an entire alternate take of Anchorman 2 eventually when it comes time for DVD and Blu-ray.
You are correct.
Wow. And, how about that?
And about a month before we were done filming, we were all lobbying for McKay to kill Bill this, make it 1 and 2.
Because there was so much footage.
There's so much stuff, and we were all like, don't lose anything. Please make it 2. And they kind of toyed with that idea in one of the early screenings to see how that might play, and they're like, nope, it doesn't work. People will go crazy. They'll kill us.
In our remaining moments with the great David Koechner here on the Kevin DeBean Show, talking about Anchorman 2 that opens, of course, everywhere tomorrow. I know there's a lot of cameos that you can't talk about, and I wouldn't want you to talk about. Faces we don't know are in the movie. But just talk to me a little bit about the people like Kristen Wiig and Greg Kinnear and Harrison Ford and Megan Good and people like that. What's it like for an outsider to come in to the Anchorman 2 set and work with all of you guys, do you think?
Well, I don't think it's anything for Wig, you know, because how brilliant.
She's ridiculous.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm sure for Goody, it was a little bit, especially like hearing a director over a mic and talking to her like, what's going on here? But they quickly assimilated and were able to just get in and play. And plus we kind of brief everybody, like, here's how it's going to go down. You're going to hear a voice from above. We're going to keep rolling and just say what was said.
Do you sense that Harrison Ford knew where he was at any time, David?
He was game. That's what I was told. I didn't actually have any scenes with him, but I told he was quite game.
All right. Ralph, you want to say goodbye to David before we let him go for the holidays?
I know you've been busy, buddy, and we miss you. So love to Lee and the family, and have a great holiday, okay?
Same to you, yours. It's only bye for now.
All right.
David. Thank you. Everybody go see Anchorman 2 tomorrow, and then go see it the day after that and every day while it's still in theaters. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again next year. All this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock, we are hooking you up with tickets to Grinchmas at Universal Studios Hollywood. Congratulations and thanks for listening to Paul Massiel from Riverside. You just won your tickets. Your chance to win is coming up. Hey, a couple weeks out from Christmas. Who's ready for a little holiday music, ladies and gentlemen? I present for you Wing. Oh, she's just a songbird, isn't she?
Isn't she, though?
She's just a delight. Baby Jesus would have committed suicide if he had to listen to that. How about some more Wig? A little bit of her White Christmas, please.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the one I used to know, where the trees top glisten and children listen to hear sneak.
Doesn't it seem like most people would go, I've screwed that out. Let me take that again.
Not Wing.
They just keep rolling. All right. It's not exactly a Christmas song, but it does have spiritual overtones. Here's the great Hallelujah by Wing.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Almost makes you forget Jeff Buckley's version, doesn't it? Yeah. And I think, you know, when you're talking Wing and you're talking Christmas music, practically the holiday theme song of the Kevin and Bean Show, give me as much as we have time for of Wing's immortal Santa on a Helicopter.
This Wing is a beautiful song about Santa Claus on a helicopter. Not a traditional sleigh cart. Santa Claus on a helicopter.
There it is. There it is.
Santa Claus on the helicopter. Santa Claus, he visits us today, December 24. Wow, he's coming right now in a helicopter. Not a traditional sleigh cart.
No.
He lives in the front yard of a nursery. All the babies crying for moms. He feeds them well if they are hungry.
Feeds.
He returns to the helicopter and makes a big landing in the city. Dance! Santa dance! Dance! Helicopter dance! Dance! Santa Claus dance! Follow Santa, he's playing a flute. Follow Santa, take the secret route to the church to place the law. All the children follow Santa down the road, sons and daughters. But if you are silly, you can walk. Santa take you to a helicopter. Santa Claus.
Wow, timing.
On a helicopter. Santa Claus. On a helicopter.
She's a miracle. That's fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas from the Kevin and Bean Show and Wing. Lisa Mary, are you into those end of the year lists when we get to the end of, like, right now?
Oh, yeah.
Looking back on the past 12 months. I've been reading a lot of the best albums of 2013 lists, and at the top is almost always Arcade Fire, Kanye West, or those guys right there, Vampire Weekend, from their Modern Vampires in the City album that is Unbelievers Here on the World Famous Carrot. Great album if you missed it first time around. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Mark Herwick is on the phone. He is a TV executive producer. He's done shows for Bravo and Fox and Disney and MTV and Animal Planet and Travel Channel. And his new one that has us so excited, debuting sometime in 2014, is going to be on E! It is called Botched. And Mark joins us on the phone right now. How are you, sir?
Man, good. What's up, guys? How are you?
Well, when we saw the press release that Botched was coming to our TV, we were very excited. Explain to folks what it's all about.
Oh, we are very excited, too. So Botched is a revision plastic surgery show. We're taking people who have been victims of plastic surgery gone wrong and, you know, hoping to undo and fix the, you know, often very disastrous results. So we're, you know, hooking people up with two of the best plastic surgeons in the country, Dr. Paul Nassif and Dr. Terry Dubrow, and, you know, again, trying to fix the disastrous plastic surgery results.
Now, I have a lot of questions about the plastic surgery itself, but let me start by asking about the doctors. You're saying okay. They're two of the best plastic surgeons out there, but they also happen to be reality TV stars themselves, right?
True.
What a coincidence.
Fortunately, they started as plastic surgeons and then became reality TV stars. So they truly are the best in the business.
And they're in the orbit of the Real Housewives shows. That's where we know them, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. You're already casting for this, and we're going to give out the information. If any of our listeners are candidates for this show, they've had bad plastic surgery. I'll give out the email address at the end of the call here. But have you already received notice from a lot of people that they're interested in your services here, Mark?
We have. It's unbelievable. Once we kind of put out the casting feelers, the floodgates opened. It's unfortunately a lot more common than I initially thought. And I think in the eternal quest for beauty, people. People have gone in for what they thought is a routine procedure and, has ended up anything but that, from, horribly disfigured breast augmentations to tummy tucks gone completely awry, butt lifts that did not turn out the way they thought.
Oh, dear God.
nose jobs that have left them completely disfigured. There are a ton of people out there, and those are the people we're looking for.
There's an awful lot of things that can go wrong, and I know that there's not a direct correlation with how much you pay versus the quality of the surgery you get, but it does seem like this is one area where you really want to be careful and not maybe just make your decision based solely on price, right?
I would absolutely, but more so than that, it's about doing your research. I mean, if you are considering this or have done this, the one thing is do your research. There are a lot of great doctors out there. All of them aren't top dollar guys, but you really need to do your research. You really need to know what you're getting into. You need to know the risk because, every patient is different. People's bodies heal differently. People start out in a different place. One person's, breasts may be in the perfect place for an augmentation, where somebody may have, a more complicated structure inside and may mean a more difficult breast augmentation. So you really need to do your research. You need to know who your doctor is. You need to know exactly what you're getting into because, a lot of times it's very difficult to go back.
But once,
go ahead. Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, I was just going to say, once something is botched, like a nose, I think of Michael Jackson, it has to be impossible sometimes to really get somebody back to looking normal.
I mean, there's a certain point, in talking to these doctors that you can't go back. With Michael Jackson, I imagine that there's so much damage had been done, mm-hmm. and I don't know his case specifically, that there isn't the skin, left to correct. There isn't enough, laxity or stretchiness in the skin to correct that. And, as these doctors have said over and over, revision plastic surgery, what we're doing, is the hardest plastic surgery because you're not dealing with virgin skin and virgin people. You're dealing with, skin that's been stretched already, scar tissue that's in there that you need to work around. So, the more surgery you have, the more difficult it is to correct. That's why, to me, this show is so exciting because, these guys are able to do it. They are revision plastic surgery experts.
This is the voice of Mark Herwick on the phone. We're talking about his new show that's going to be on E! Next year. It is called Botched, about fixing botched plastic surgery. Have you started filming any of these yet, Mark?
We are in production right now and, cannot talk about the details of what's been going on, but we have some unbelievable patients, unbelievable cases, and are looking for a few more right now to fill out the season.
In some cases, like a facelift, they say it takes a year for your face to kind of settle and really see what you're mm-hmm. going to end up with. So how are you dealing with that time frame?
Every case is different. Every patient's different. Faces do take a while. And, with nose jobs as well, they say it's 2 years before the swelling completely goes down. So, a lot of these surgeries, have happened, many years ago. A lot of them are more recent. And, with every case, the doctors, obviously do a, full consultation examination and, determine the, the best course of action.
But how are you showing us results that are going to take 6 months or a year before we really know what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, we found the cases that we're tackling right now, we're expecting results, rather quickly, knowing that they will continue to heal. And again, we're expecting they'll probably be, you know, 90%, if not 100% of the way there by the time we reveal. But we're also, you know, timing the reveals and extending our production such that we can show the reveals in their full wonder.
Oh, good.
How much of the actual surgery are you going to be showing, if any at all, Mark?
We're showing the whole thing, start to finish. We've got we've got cameras in the operating room, and you know, we're showing absolutely everything, every detail, every piece of the surgery, which is, you know, which has been thrilling.
This may make people not have plastic surgery. Well,
we hope it makes people research their plastic surgeons, because there's a ton of great plastic surgeons out there. We just, you know, we hope people, you know, research and know what they're getting into.
Now, we had a caller. We were talking about your show last week, Mark, on the air here on the Kevin DeBate Show, and we had a caller. Do you remember Lisa, the one who called in, who her breasts were going in different directions or something, weren't they, as a result?
Did she have a nose job, too?
She had two different things, and she had gone to doctors that she had seen on TV, like doctors that she had seen on talk shows. So both of her surgeries had been done by other TV doctors. So we told her about your show. We said, if you only get surgery done by TV doctors, have we got a program for you? Unfortunately, we didn't hang on to her number. So I'm hoping she's listening again this morning and that she can respond to your casting call, because I think she'd be an outstanding candidate for you.
Yeah, we would love anybody who's listening, please reach out to us. We found, with the people we've been talking to already, this really is a once in a lifetime opportunity. You know, a lot of these people have no hope and think they have to live with, you know, these disfigurements for the rest of their lives. You know, they don't, and you don't. So please, please, please do reach out to us.
All right, here's the email address. If you think you are a good candidate for Botched, it is botchedcasting@gmail.com. Botchedcasting@gmail.com. Be sure to include your contact information, a brief bio. Tell us about your surgery nightmare. Some of the questions that Mark has for you is what did you want fixed? How much did it cost? What happened? What did you want changed? How is it affecting you? And include pictures, please, of yourself before and after. So if you get that information to botchedcasting@gmail.com, if you're a good candidate for the show, then maybe Mark will give you a call back. Do I have all that right, Mark?
Everything sounds perfect.
And when is this show going to debut on my E? I can't wait.
We are thinking summer or fall of 2014. So hopefully we'll be back before it premieres to talk a little bit more detail about some of these wonderful surgeries we've been doing.
Now, is there a plan, a backup plan, if somebody goes in to have their bad plastic surgery repaired and you guys make it worse? Is there another show that's going to cover those people?
That will be the spinoff. No, I'm kidding. No, we, again, are doctors are doing everything they can to, and there's no guarantees with any plastic surgery. People's bodies feel differently, and we don't have a crystal ball, but, you know,
these are
two of the best doctors in the business, and, you know, we're doing everything we can to ensure that people are going to be happy with the results.
Hey, I think it's going to be a miracle for those people that it works out for, and I'm sure it will be. Most of the people that come through your doors are going to walk out looking better than they did walking in, and you're probably exactly right. They probably thought they were stuck with that, and however the surgery got botched, that's what they were going to have to live with for the rest of your life, so you're doing them a real service, so thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, and that's exactly what it's about. It's about making them look better than they do now.
All right, botchedcasting@gmail.com, or we have that for you here at K-Rock if you can't write it down right now. Mark, thanks for coming on. Good luck with the show, and happy holidays to you, sir.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, so much.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
Well said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
Wow.
Yes, you too, advertisers, can get that kind of delivery for your message to our very lucrative Kevin and Bean audience. Have a girl just say a random bunch of words that she has no idea what they mean or how they fit into a sentence.
We were going to do a moment with Lisa from 2013 as we start to wind down toward the end of the year. She didn't have any, Ralph.
Not one moment. I don't buy it. I don't believe
Mugs?
It.
Is that true?
It's true.
That is way true.
A couple of listeners earlier in the year pointed out a few things, but I didn't say anything, and you guys missed it. So.
Oh, what? Oh. What? Why are you holding
back? Bad for you.
Hold back.
Hey, coming up right after the top of the hour, we'll ask that question, what's up with Florida? First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Florida, Florida.
Right?
I love that theme song. It is Tuesday here on the Showbiz Beat. That means it's new release day, so we like to take a look at some new stuff that you can pick up, maybe for the holidays. Maybe this is something for one of your loved ones. You need a present or stocking stuffer. Here's what you can get. New CDs, Underground Luxury by B.O.B. I'm going to pick that up. Shangri-La by Jake Bug. Oh, love some Bug.
Do you like him? I think he's terrific.
Stop it. No one knows who he is. Stop saying that.
He's very popular.
Stop saying it. No one knows who he is.
He's very popular.
What sort of artist is he, Bean? How would you equate Jake Bugg?
He's a, you know, he's a singer-songwriter kind of guy.
So like a John Mayer type or a Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, something like that.
Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues. The soundtrack is available today. Kick-Ass 2 kicks off our DVD list. The Family with Robert De Niro and Michelle Pfeiffer. Also available on DVD today. Prisoners with Hugh Jackman. Elysium, the follow-up to District 9 from creator of that film, Charlton Copley, who starred in that film, also was in this, along with Matt Damon and Jodie Foster. The Lone Ranger with Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer. A lot of people gave that movie a hard time. I really enjoyed it. Maybe want to pick it up on DVD. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, also available today. One Direction's documentary, This Is Us, is available today. And The Sound of Music Live with Carrie Underwood and a vampire. You can see them sing and try to act. So, TV shows on DVD. Justified, complete fourth season, is available now, as is Burn Notice's seventh season. Shameless, the complete third season. And Psych, the musical. We just had Maggie Lawson in here talking about that episode. Now it's available on DVD. You can pick it up in case you missed it on the TV. Speaking of the TV, celebrities like to get interviewed by Barbara Walters. Usually shows that you are, you have arrived, as they say. Duck Dynasty star Phil Robertson apparently didn't care so much. Skipped out on the Barbara Walters interview for the Most Fascinating People special that she's doing on the ABC network.
I would think that would be a big deal for a guy who's, you know, hasn't been on TV all that long.
It is, but he doesn't care. And he skipped out so he could go duck hunting.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Something to shoot.
Nothing trumps ducks. You got to kill those ducks. Or the doves, you know, because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
That's what I've heard, yes.
Yeah, that's what they are. True. Yeah. Beer mug.
Hunting doves, it's one of my most favorite activities. Because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
That's right. Barbara Walters says that she's never been superseded by a duck before. Because it's the first time for everything, Babs.
So Miley Cyrus, as busy as she is, has time to sit down with Baba Wawa. But Phil from Duck Dynasty, not so much.
Because the only thing Miley has to kill is brain cells.
Right.
Phil's got to get there and blow up some ducks. Celebrity Apprentice star Donald Trump. Hotel mogul. Promoter of the Miss USA, Miss Universe.
Jackass.
Contests. Is, he announced yesterday that he's looking for another run at the presidency.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Or governor of New York. He hasn't quite decided yet. I'll make a decision at some time pretty soon, he said.
Are there people who would really vote for Donald Trump, do you think?
Sadly, I do. Not enough, to, of course, to let him win, but it's the world we live in, people.
We're not respected. We're not respected in the world. The world laughs at us.
Because
they
people
won't
like
be
you
laughing
run for president.
If I'm president.
No, they will be laughing, especially if you're president, Donald. Another day, another child star showing off their junk. This time the honor goes to Dylan Sprouse. Are you familiar with Dylan Sprouse?
Is he one of the Sweet Life kids?
He is one of the twins who starred in The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. He messed up by leaking a few naked photos of himself, selfies in his bathroom that he took, one of him showing, making a muscle. Nothing more embarrassing than a dude taking a picture of himself in a mirror, flexing his bicep.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, a full body shot of him cupping his sweet life, holding on to it, so you really don't see anything, but embarrassing nonetheless. However, the kid owned it at least. He went on Twitter and admitted that he messed up. And I'd be a fool not to own up to it, he said. He also said to his many followers and fans, thanks for making me laugh through all of this. His twin brother, by the way, retweeted the photos.
That's great.
Along with a Twitter that said, cold in that bathroom, huh? Zing! See what he did there?
I think I would have just immediately tried to convince the world that the photos were of my twin brother, that I had nothing to do with it. That's what I would have done.
Genius. If only this kid was as clever as you. And James Cameron has announced he will be doing 3 Avatar sequels to the most successful film of all time. And all of them will be shot in New Zealand. The reason? Well, as you can imagine, it's cost. The New Zealand government passed a tax incentive which will enable film producers to get a 25% rebate on each movie that they shot there.
Why?
Because they want to bring all the productions down to New Zealand, so they'll spend those sweet, sweet Hollywood movie-making dollars on their commerce down there. Pretty clever. 25% rebate. That saves you a lot, especially when you're dealing with a budget like the size of the Avatar films. So, if you want to work with James Cameron, get down there. Be a Kiwi. Flight of the Conchords.
Mm-hmm.
Today's celebrity birthdays. It's just a massive, massive list of people born today, December the 17th. I'll give you some of the highlights because I just can't get through everybody. Giovanni Ribisi, 39 years old today. What a nice guy he is and a very talented actor. Actress Sarah Paulson is also 39. Mila Jovovich celebrates her 38th birthday. Boxer Manny Pacquiao is 35. Jennifer Carpenter of Dexter is 34 years old. Ben Goldwasser of MGMT turns 31. Taylor York, guitarist for Paramore, is 24 years old. Chuck Liddell from the UFC turns 44 years old today. Bill Pullman, the actor, is 60. Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters is 68 years old. And Eugene Levy, very, very funny man, 67. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, party people, Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy holidays. Thanks so much for tuning in. I can't believe it's time for our final What's Up with Florida.
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now
in Florida.
The Sunshine State had quite an incredible 2013, didn't they, Lisa May?
Oh, yes. It was amazing.
Every week, story after story came out of Florida that just made us ask, what is up with Florida? And one day we're going to get to the bottom of this. We got a lot of stories to burn through, so let's see how many I can get on the radio here. First of all, here's a 57-year-old homeless man who at one time was very promising. He actually earned a master's degree in space technology from the Florida Institute of Technology, but he's been homeless for some time, and he was living in the parking lot of a church. Well, apparently 57-year-old Drazen Pramat got so upset by the mosquito bites at the church that he decided to take it out on the church, and he burned the place down. He was arrested, has been charged with arson. He says it was due to the bug bites. They were driving him crazy. Now, that's a mental situation or what?
Yeah, for sure.
You don't burn down a building because you get bit by a mosquito,
no.
Right? But I'm sure that is not the defense that they were expecting when the police asked why he did it. He said it was those damned mosquitoes. Here's a man in Deerfield Beach, Florida. He did not win the Employee of the Month award that he so desperately wanted. He works for Walmart. The woman who did win was very upsetting to him. So he said to her, I am going to show you. And he did. He shot up her car with a machine gun. As this article explains, jealousy is a mother effer. So maybe he was a good choice to maybe not win Employee of the Month, by the way, if that's the way he takes it out. The award, by the way, is just recognition within the Walmart. There's no prize. There's no cash. You don't get anything for it. It's just – they don't even give – according to this article, they don't even give you a parking space close to the store like you get when you win some Employee of the Month prizes. So basically there was no advantage to winning the thing except he did win, shot up her car, and now he lost his job. Mm. Remember we had a story a couple of weeks ago about somebody who said, no, I wasn't masturbating behind the wheel of my car. That was a penis-shaped novelty pen.
Yes.
Isn't quite that, but it's close. He's inside a Beals store, which is a women's clothing store in the Seminole Town Center in Sanford, Florida. He is caught on videotape walking around with his dong out, following women around the store. He is arrested and says, no, I wasn't masturbating. I had an itch, and I had to expose myself in order to scratch it.
Oh, I've had to do that before.
So apparently it's that kind of itch that you can't get inside your pants.
Right.
You have to be freeballing in order to get a chance to scratch it. I don't know why he thought that was going to help, but it didn't. We go to Newport Richey now. Here's a man who is stunned by a taser after police say he became violent in a motel lobby in Pascal County. The reason this guy is in the news is a witness nearby says, I saw the guy while he was being tased. He didn't have his shirt on. down. He was yelling, "Stop, stop, I know Carrie Underwood." Then he said something about his mom. He was walking backwards, and the officer was walking toward him. He was screaming and yelling. I don't know that "I know Carrie Underwood" works to get out of being tased if you're in a motel violence situation.
Well, not this time, but really it should. Don't you think?
I am going to keep that in my in the back of my mind if I ever get pulled over for anything. I'm going to see if "I know Carrie Underwood" helps. I'd be surprised. Here's a great story that was widely reported this week about a guy who almost got away with it, except he couldn't resist bragging on the internet. He was already being investigated by the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. His name is Dupree Johnson. They were looking at him after a series of jewelry thefts in the neighborhood. He had a track record of robbing in that neighborhood in Boynton Beach and some senior communities. Well, doing research on the guy, they found his Instagram account, where he had put up photo after photo after photo of him with guns and cash and drugs and watches and charms and necklaces. And it went on and on and on. That's all they needed to know. They went to his home, found all that stuff. He's now in jail facing 142 counts of possession of weapons and ammunition by a convicted felon.
Who would have thought that someone could get on your Instagram? Oh my God, I have so much work to do.
What's happening with people where they think they could take stolen merchandise? You're already a felon, and you're waving around guns and stolen jewelry on the internet, and you think that somebody's not going to notice.
It doesn't happen unless you have a selfie.
Apparently that's so. Apparently that's the truth. And finally, in What's Up with Florida, this is one of the strangest stories that I have ever seen about a trespassing charge. This is a guy, a 27-year-old named Tushar Patel. He is from India. He is being charged with trespassing in an occupied home in Four Ranch. The people who live in the house, Michael Herbert and his wife, heard the man in the bathroom. He was holding the doorknob to the bathroom door to keep it from opening. The man called the police, said that there's somebody in my bathroom who won't let me open the door and he won't come out, and he's speaking in another language. The police showed up, they got an interpreter, and it turned out that he was from India. Why did he walk into this person's house? Because he was walking by from the road, and he says he saw a staircase in the house that reminded him of one back home in India, and he just had to walk on it.
Aww,
is that
sweet.
The weirdest thing, though?
It is really strange.
The staircase takes me home. I need to break into your house. That was from Four Ranch, Florida. And that is the latest in a long line of people in the news that have made us ask in 2013, what's up with Florida?
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
You're listening to the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Hey, don't forget, we are continuing to give away tickets for you to see Grinchmas at Universal Studios. Grinchmas, that is. Details at K-Rock.com. There's no Grinchmas. There's no such thing as Grinchmas.
No, Grinchmas is awesome. My favorite event.
Grinchmas is what it's called. Got a chance for you to win coming up in just a few minutes. Lisa and I were just talking while you're out of the room there, Ralph, about how difficult, and I think we can speak about him because he's not here today and there's no way he's listening, no. About how difficult Kevin is to buy for when Christmas and birthdays come around.
Yes, he is.
I still have nothing for him, right? For Christmas.
Yeah. I've given up trying to buy you people stuff.
You have?
Yeah.
But you've done good with me.
Yeah, but every year it's like you get somebody something and it's kind of, you hope they like it, but chances are it's going to end up in a drawer and a white elephant at some party later on in the year or whatever. So now I am just Mr. Gift Certificate. I'm Mr. Everybody gets a big fat Amazon card and you can just go on there. They've got everything in the world and those people end up getting something they really like and they really can use. And that makes me feel better knowing that they're getting something they genuinely either want or need versus me just taking a guess and hoping for the best.
Right, right.
Now,
well,
let me ask you about that. I'm glad you brought that up because I have struggled with giving gift cards as a gift because I feel like it's a cop-out. I agree with you, by the way. First of all, I love getting Amazon gift cards. That's a great gift for me. I would love it. But I feel like, and maybe this is just me projecting, that if I give someone an Amazon gift card, they will think that I'm just lazy and I don't know them and I'm not trying. And I feel like it makes me look like a weak gift giver if I give an Amazon gift card.
I think it's the opposite. I think you're showing that you really do care about – you genuinely care about them getting something that they really like and they really want, and versus you just picking something out that – maybe you saw at at the gas station while you were filling up and they end up with a trucker hat or something. Then they get something that they can pick out for themselves that you know they'll like. And it shows you're concerned genuinely about getting them something they really want.
I found this list, by the way. I thought this was interesting because gift cards do get bigger and bigger every year. Walmart is the most wanted gift card in America, which is a real surprise to me.
Really?
It is.
Why?
Because I would think that Amazon is the biggest retailer in the country. I would think that Amazon would be number one. But Walmart is number one. Number two on this list, according to giftcardrescue.com, is the restaurants in the Darden restaurants chain, which includes the Red Lobster and the Olive Garden.
Well, see, that's what I'm telling
you. This
is
middle America.
Yeah, look at that. Look at those two answers you just gave me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Olive Garden and Walmart, that's most of America, Bean.
Right.
You're
right.
Thinking, like us, oh, you want to go to a nicer restaurant and go on Amazon and get something cool. The majority of people are shopping in Walmarts and eating in Olive Garden.
So, in other words...
Yeah, there you go. That's our nation.
So if you or almost anyone on your list got a Red Lobster gift card, it would not be cause for celebration.
It would not. No.
I don't even know where one is.
Number three on this list, by the way, and I think this again speaks to your point, is TJ Maxx. After that is Starbucks, Home Depot, Costco, JCPenney, Lowe's, and Sears.
That's where we live. That's our
so
world.
So these are not your
Depot.
People.
That's America.
Oh, thank you. I will buy that toilet now. I really need it.
Oh, I finally got that box of six-penny nails I've been hoping for all year.
So Home Depot gift card not for Lisa this
not
year?
So that's what
you're not for Lisa.
No.
All right. So let me ask you part two of the question here. So I'm talking about people on the list, like the monkey, who are difficult to buy for.
Right.
One solution is you get them the gift card. You get them the Starbucks or the Amazon or the Walmart or whatever. Okay, that's thing one.
But you How know about- he can buy anything, right? Is that even good for Kevin?
What, it's hard to buy rich people presents because they can get anything for themselves?
Yes. He doesn't even look at prices when he goes on Amazon.
No, he doesn't.
He just buys stuff.
Yeah. I guess, but then you're also trapped, I think, Lisa, by the person who has everything. What can you get them from a store that they already don't have?
It's true.
Yeah. It's tough. Some people are just tough to buy for. All right. So let me throw this out there. How about thing number two? Let's say you decide not to go the gift card route because maybe you're buying something for a person who's wealthy and can buy anything once. What if instead you donate money to charity in that person's name? Now it's the same cost to you, but it's going to somebody who really needs it. And I think it's a warm fuzzy for the recipient.
No, that's not a gift for him. There's this new trend of like, oh, instead of getting you a present, I gave to a charity, but I did it while I was thinking of you and writing the check. That's
what?
Not a gift for any for the that person.
What if I give it to his charity? Huh? Huh? He can't argue that, right?
Well, yeah, if a person actually does run a charity like Kevin, that might be a legitimate thing to do.
Done.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah.
But there you go, Lisa. There's your answer for Kevin. But what you're saying, Ralph, is that for most people, you don't consider that a gift. You don't think the person on the other end of that goes, wow, in my name, that's $100 that goes to help somebody in the Philippines, and you don't think that's a warm fuzzy for that person?
It may be a warm fuzzy, but it's not a gift. It's not a present. Let's not kid ourselves into thinking that donating to charity is a gift for the person that you're saying is going into their name. It's just not. By definition, a present is something you are giving to someone else to show them that you care about them, to give them something that you thought of that they can need, use, want, desire. It's an honor of that person. Now, giving to charity is a wonderful thing, and I think everyone should do it as much as is fiscally possible for them to do. But it's not a gift for that person.
But what if you're Filipino? Huh?
Lisa's got the exceptions for every argument.
Are you currently living in a hut that's been torn down?
What if you have family there?
Then buy them a new hut. Yes, absolutely. And that's a legitimate gift for that person in the Philippines. But it's not a gift for Kevin, a guy who's sitting in Encino, that you gave something to somebody in the Philippines.
Bean, what if I save a turkey for you this year?
By not eating it?
No. You can adopt a turkey at the farm sanctuary.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What if I do that for you? Are you happy?
I would be happy with any charity. I would consider it a gift to me if you were to do that.
How?
Yes, I would.
How
I
is think that a gift for you?
Because he loves animals.
Talk about lazy and thoughtless. If you're picking out a random charity and giving money to them instead of spending any time or effort into energy and getting you something, that is a cop-out.
But
you're worried about
you...
gift cards. That is a cop-out.
No, but I don't think it's a cop-out, and here's why. Because in the case of, let's say that Lisa saved a turkey in my name, or I had another friend who adopted an elephant to care for a year for me a couple years ago, and I just thought that was wonderful. Because to me, it says, you know enough about me to know that I would rather see that animal have it better, have a great life for that year, rather than another present for me, somebody who doesn't need anything. That I would think that would be a very thoughtful
gift. Thank you.
Gift.
Yes, thank you, beer mug. It's a wonderful thing to do, don't get me wrong, and that person should be doing that regardless. But to tack then you onto it as sort of like a bonus thing for them to say, oh, well, I also got out of getting a gift for somebody because I donated to charity. That's just,
I would like that if you saved a puppy and then you go, and I saved a puppy for you too. I would be very happy about that.
And I think it is a gift because you're taking whatever the money is that they would have spent on you, Ralph. It's because of you and the friendship that I have with you, for instance, that I am taking that money that I didn't give to you and gave to something that I think will make you, that will warm your heart.
But it's not a gift for that person. It's a great thing to do, and I applaud it and I encourage it. But it is it's just tangential that you can say, well, and for you. Also, it also is for you that I did that.
But if you did it for yourself,
and it's kind of like, look at me. It's kind of douchebaggy to say, oh, and by the way, look how magnanimous and I am giving to charity. It's a way of announcing that you're a charitable person.
I don't think it's douchebaggy.
It's very braggy, and it's not a gift for that person.
I don't think it's douchebaggy. Here's why. Because I think, and then we got to take a break. And the phones are already ringing. I'm curious to hear what the kids, if they want to weigh in on this, at 1-800-520-1067. If somebody donated to charity in your name this holiday season,
yes,
would you consider that a gift or would you consider that a cop-out, like Ralph says? Here's what I'm saying, though.
It's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. If someone did that, I would say, I'm glad that charity is getting more money. But it's really not a gift for me. It really has nothing to do with me. It has to do with
but
you
it
doing
is
a
gift.
Good thing for charity.
It is a gift if I take the exact $27.19 that I was going to pay for a gift for somebody and donate that amount instead to somebody else. It goes above and beyond just what I was going to donate normally. I think the charity wins again.
Of course the charity wins. I'm not saying the charity doesn't win. The charity absolutely wins and should win. But it has nothing to do with getting a gift for someone else.
Yeah, I think it depends
on the
receiver's
point of view. That's about you doing a good thing for the charity. Unless somebody says, in lieu of Christmas gifts this year or something, please donate to. You know, or sometimes, you know, often the case in funerals, say, in lieu of flowers, please donate to this charity because this is the disease that my loved one died from. Something. If someone's making the request and that's really what they desire, then absolutely I can see in doing that. But just to say, oh, everybody, we're exchanging gifts this year. Oh, what'd you get, Bill? Oh, I got this awesome jacket. Oh, what'd you get? Oh, I got this this puzzle that I always wanted. What'd you get? Oh, well, my guy gave $5 to the Red Cross and said it was for me. No, it's not. It's not for him. It's not for Bill. It's for the Red Cross, and I'm glad they got it, but Bill got screwed.
I hear
at the holiday party.
I hear your point. I am interested to hear what our listeners have to say. So, is it a gift or is it not a gift if somebody donates in your name for charity? This is a crucial question because everybody has somebody on their list that they're struggling with right now. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, I think you've broken our listeners' spirit, Ralph. This one is right down the middle on gift cards, on charity donations as appropriate gifts for the holidays or not. Tori writes in, I would love it if somebody donated to a charity I feel passionately about. It is a gift that I would appreciate. But then Dan writes in, no, I'm poor. Give me an actual gift or money. Stop it, you lazy, cheap bastards. So I think you can tell it's pretty split. We're taking your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. If you're just joining us, I would love it if somebody made a donation in my name for a Christmas gift. Ralph would hate it.
You own an island. You don't need anything. But most people, like the writer of that email, do need something or could use something. And they would really probably appreciate at the holidays for someone to give them a little something.
Well, I know you enough, Ralph, that the goat that I donated to that family in Africa for you was a bad idea.
No, I love that because they'll probably eat the goat and I will feel good about that.
No, they don't. So I'm giving that to Bean instead. I think it's know who you're giving it to. That's the whole answer.
Maybe that's what it is. Let's try Chris. He's on line three. He's going to get us going here at 1-800-520-1067. Chris, what says you? Charity donation. Great gift or not?
I'd say it's a terrible gift. Who gets the tax write-off?
Oh, that's a good question.
Probably hadn't thought about the tax
implications.
Probably
the giver, right? The giver probably gets the write-off.
If the giver gets the tax write-off, it's not a gift.
It's a gift for them. It's a gift to them.
It's not
going to
be much of a write-off. Come on.
Well, it's not much of a gift.
Exactly.
Look, tax write-off aside, though, doesn't the person, the recipient, still get the warm, fuzzy feeling of knowing that instead of them getting a gift this year, somebody who needs it far more than them got the gift this year?
Well, then give it to the person that it's still not a gift. It's a gift to the person that you're giving the charity gift to.
Right.
But
there's a gift for that little poor person, the kid with the swollen belly in Indonesia. That's a gift for him, but it's not a gift for the person you put the name on the card for.
All right, Chris, thank you for the call. Let's go to, I don't know what he just said.
I don't
do you
know
guys?
Either. I hope it was fire beer mug.
Let's go to Aaliyah, I am assuming, Aaliyah on line six and find out. I think Aaliyah has a charity program going at Christmas time herself.
Yes, hi guys.
Hi there.
I actually asked my friends to donate for me to the LA Gay and Lesbian Center.
Oh, okay.
Rather than buying us any gifts.
Well, that is a completely legitimate situation, Aaliyah, if that's what you're asking for. If that's what you've requested people to do and they honor that request, then I think that's a win-win for everybody.
Totally different because you know ahead of time that that's what the person wants, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Felicia.
Go
Felicia's
lesbians.
Up next. She's on line eight.
Just on her side.
That's the basketball team down in Hacienda Heights,
that's
right? The
correct.
Lesbians.
Yes.
Yeah. Felicia.
Oh, yeah. And so I feel like it benefits the person giving to the charity, regardless whose name's attached that's giving it to. I don't think they should. I think they would get the warm, fuzzy feeling as well, and it's not. I feel like the person whose name's attached to it doesn't get much of a warm, fuzzy feeling.
The giver feels more warm, fuzzy because they're the one actually donating the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little
wow.
selfish. It's a little
so you're
selfish
with Ralph.
To give a gift to a charity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Selfish Thank you for
bastards.
The call. Appreciate that.
Selfish
How
bastards
about...
donating to charity.
I think the lesbians are playing the Selfish Bastards Friday night, by the way. I'm looking forward to that match.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ed. He's on line one. He may change your mind on this, Ralph.
Hey, Ralph, everyone. I think we're just missing the whole point of the idea of giving for the benefit of a nonprofit or a charity. The fact is, the gift itself doesn't have to be an item. It also can be an emotion. I get a lot of emotion, or I get very emotional when I give something to a charity.
Right.
The idea of making it someone's different, someone's life, that itself is a gift. So I'll go with a charity.
Yeah, so when you're giving to a charity, you get the benefits of that warm feeling, and then you just slap someone else's name on it and say, oh, I gave it in your name.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
It's a good
selfish
feeling.
Bastard.
You make a difference to someone else. You know, it doesn't. You know what? Here's the thing. It doesn't even matter, like, what charity is receiving, whether I know it's XYZ charity that I know of versus another one. It's someone else is truly, at the end of the day, someone has benefited from the whole thing. So,
right.
You know, if you can't buy into that, then you're missing the whole thing, the whole, you know, benefit of, like,
the
Christmas.
The spirit of Christmas.
But
Ed,
here's the thing. I give a ton of stuff to charity. And then I give gifts to other people. It's not like I'm not giving to charity because I'm buying gifts for people. I give to charity quietly. I don't announce it in the room saying, and I gave money to charity, and yes, your name's on it. I do it quietly. I donate my money to charity. I do the good thing. And then I also give gifts to people.
So that makes Ralph a bad person, right, Ed?
No, it doesn't make it bad. Actually, it's a great thing.
Yes.
That you're doing
I'm twice as good as people who just give charity as gifts, is what I'm saying.
All right, Ed. Thank you for the call, sir.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Exactly.
Yes.
Thank you, Linus. How about one more? Let's go to Erin. Let's find out how this has impacted her real life. Erin, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks so much for calling.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Well, I think the problem here is these people have never received charity as a gift because I got it once and I was pissed.
What charity was in your name, Erin?
Well, I don't know if you can exactly call it a charity. It was, you know, my grandma for Christmas always gets us great gifts. It's something we can do as a family. We're always looking forward to something from grandma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually we get Disneyland season passes or something really cool.
Right.
One year we're all waiting for the present. We're opening it up and it's a picture of a llama. Meemaw got us a llama for a family in Peru.
Meemaw gave a llama to a family in Peru on your behalf.
Yes. And she sat there and smiled and said, isn't that great? And we said, yeah.
So was that, let's just settle the argument right here and now. Was that as much fun as going to Disneyland or not as much fun as going to Disneyland?
It was a close call, but I'm going to have to go with no. A llama is not as fun as Disneyland.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry, Erin.
I think that's the final word. I think you just won the argument. Thanks for calling.
I hope you did the right thing and put grandma in a home after that Christmas.
That's just menacing sounding, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's not
creepy.
Enough.
Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Got the top 10 internet roundup videos of 2013 for you next hour. Right now, Ralph Garman has the showbiz beat. What's going on?
This is sad. This is sad when musicians, I don't know, I guess they're counting every penny. Every penny counts when you're a has-been. But you remember a band called Sweet?
I loved Sweet.
A band called Sweet. I believe they were from Ireland, I want to say. They were an Irish rock band, weren't they?
Yeah, somewhere in the UK. But they were Love Is Like Oxygen, and they
Love
were,
Is Like Oxygen.
Fox on the Run was another song they had.
Yeah.
Little Willie, they had lots of great
Little
songs.
Little Willie.
What's going on with Sweet?
Their biggest hit probably was Ballroom Blitz, right? Wasn't that it?
That was one of the biggest, for sure.
Yeah. Guitarist from Sweet, Andy Scott, has... There it is.
Come on. Remember this?
Steve? Skipping.
You ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Okay.
Mick?
Okay.
All right, fellas.
Here's my part.
Let's go!
Hi, what's going on with Sweet?
It's on rock.
You don't even want to do this story now, right?
Just listen to the rest of this song.
Party Machine!
This would be a great Kevin B. Party Machine record.
That would, yeah.
Why things are getting so strange? I like to tell you everything I see.
All right, what's going on with Sweet? What are they up to?
So guitarist Andy Scott. You ready, Andy? sued a fan in Austria for trying to sell a used copy of a Sweet CD on eBay. How sad is that?
No!
It's called The Legend Lives On. It's a Sweet Greatest Hits CD. The fan, Dietmar Huber, said he couldn't believe when he got a letter from Andy Scott of Sweet and his lawyers saying that he violated copyright laws for trying to sell the CD on eBay.
Oh, my God. There are millions of used CDs being sold every day around the world.
Now, here's the thing. Andy said that the CD was a bootleg. It was unregistered material, and it was a bootleg, and it should not be sold. Well, okay. It turns out Andy doesn't know anything about his own catalog, because it turns out it is an official release, and this case has been in the system for 5 years. And the Austrian High Court just ruled this week in Dietmar's favor, saying the sale was private, no crime was committed, and now Andy Scott, guitarist of Sweet, has to cough up all of Dietmar's legal fees to the tune of $78,000. Courtroom Blitz. It was a courtroom blitz.
I don't think it's
the courtroom blitz.
Maybe they need to do a remake. I don't think it's likely that Andy has $78,000.
I don't think so either.
You?
If he's suing for $2,500 because of an eBay sale, if he needs that $2,500, where's he going to come up with the $78,000 to pay for Dietmar's legal costs?
Yeah, that's a sad. That's
by,
a sad.
By the way,
story.
The CD did sell on eBay for $1.25.
Oh,
oh my God.
The whole thing was over a buck and a quarter, and now Andy Scott is out the tune of $78,000.
Wow, that's tough.
It's a courtroom blitz! Ah! It's courtroom blitz! All right, that's your Sweet update here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about real sales, shall we? Beyonce now is the fastest selling album ever on iTunes.
Now, you reported on Friday, the day that the album completely came out of nowhere to the astonishment of people all over the world, that the demand was so great that it actually crashed iTunes for a time. So many people were trying to download it at one time.
It was released Thursday at midnight for a Friday sale, and it sold, let me see, Friday to Sunday, 828,000 copies were sold just from Friday to Sunday.
There may be a handful of albums in a year that are released that sell 800,000 copies during the entire life of that record being available for sale.
Yeah, just the weekend.
And she did it in 3 days.
Just the weekend. It sold over 828,000 copies of the digital album. That's a new record for digital sales. So congratulations. 828,000 copies of the digital album. That's a new record for digital sales. So congratulations. And interestingly, yesterday Target announced they will not carry the physical CD when it comes out. Copies of the digital album. That's a new record for digital sales. So congratulations. And interestingly, yesterday Target announced they will not carry the physical CD when it comes out. Copies of the digital album. That's a new record for digital sales. So congratulations. And interestingly, yesterday Target announced they will not carry the physical CD when it comes out, because iTunes
available for sale.
Yeah, just the weekend.
And she did it in 3 days.
Just the weekend. It sold over 828,000 copies of the digital album. That's a new record for digital sales. So congratulations. And interestingly, yesterday, Target announced that it sold over...
Mega Millions drawing, is that tonight?
Tonight!
Tonight!
I read that it's over $600 million now, Ralph.
Yeah, it is.
Muggs is talking about how he plans to win.
Yeah, then I'll be out of the hole with my bookie. I lost more football bets this weekend.
Can you imagine how much he'd have to gamble if he won the Mega Millions?
No, he'd be broke in a week.
He would. He'd be back underwater in a week. But he does say, I have mixed feelings because I never want Beer Mug to be happy even for a moment. And right. He would be so happy if he won this this lottery jackpot. But it also means he would leave the show. So that would kind of be good news for the rest of us. So I'm kind of torn, like, what to root for now.
Would he leave the show or would he buy the station?
That's terrifying.
Exactly. How about Beer Mug as your boss? How about
that? Oh, my God.
Good idea, Ralph.
Yeah. How about that?
I think Muggs would fire all of us. I don't think there's any question about that.
No, he would keep us on just so he could torture us. There'd be promotion meetings every day after the show and programming meetings. He said, I went through your show and I had some suggestions.
He would be sending you out for food every morning at 7 a.m.
Yeah, go to Del Taco and get 900 burritos.
Great idea. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Earlier in the show, we were talking about Amazon, our favorite website, where you can buy everything all the time.
We decided, by the way, for folks who weren't listening, that the single best Christmas gift you can get anyone, no matter who they are on your list, is an Amazon.com gift card because they can use it to buy virtually anything.
Literally anything. I thought it was interesting that Amazon released their list of best-selling music for 2013. They revealed that Daft Punk's Random Access Memories is their best-selling CD on Amazon.com.
Oh, how about that? That's a surprise to me.
That was the CD most people bought and had sent to their home. This is the physical CD. And then the MP3 album, the top downloaded MP3 album for this year, was Tegan and Sarah's Heartthrob.
Really?
Yes. Which is good to show you good people buy CDs and douchebags download MP3 albums.
I have not seen that on anyone's list of best-selling songs of the year. That's interesting to me.
Yeah. Also interesting was Amazon's list of all-time best-selling music. This is the all-time highest sellers on Amazon.com for music. I'll give you...
In other words, as long as the website has been around.
Right.
Okay.
Coldplay was 10th on that list with Viva La Vida. 10th all time. Okay, and this is, again, CDs.
Okay.
Dixie Chicks, Taking the Long Way, was 9. Adele's 19 was 8th. Amy Winehouse's Back to Black was 7th. Taylor Swift's Fearless was 6th. Mumford & Sons, 5th highest-selling album ever on Amazon with Sigh No More. Robert Plant and Alison Krauss with Raising Sand. The original Broadway cast recording of Wicked was 3rd.
Are you kidding me?
Wicked.
Isn't that a surprise?
It's insane.
There's not even really catchy songs in that show.
Not really.
Yeah, certainly no what we would call hits.
No.
I think I'll try defying gravity.
That's about it.
That's it. Yeah. Second, you want to take a guess at what the second highest selling CD in the history
of Amazon? Well, after Wicked, I can't even imagine.
Barbra Streisand's Broadway hits.
Wings' Greatest Hits.
Oh, my God.
Susan Boyle's I Dreamed a Dream, her first album after she won Britain's Got Talent.
So this kind of speaks to your point of the differences in the people who buy the physical music on CD and the people who are...
Because I will do MP3s after this list, okay?
Okay, good. Because this is... We got buying for your mom and dad, old people list going on
this
here.
These are cat owners who buy CDs, apparently. They're listening to Wicked and Susan Boyle, lonely, sad, stroking their cats. Number one, highest selling CD ever in Amazon's history. Adele's 21.
21?
Adele. Oh, well, that makes sense.
Global phenomenon.
I would be surprised if that's not near the top of digital downloads as well, as popular as that album was.
The MP3 list is just singles. Okay. So it's a little less extensive, but it'll give you an idea of what people are listening to. 10th was Fun, Some Nights. Lumineers, Heyo. Philip Phillips, Where We Came From. I do not know this man with two names, this Philip Phillips.
He was an American Idol winner a couple of seasons ago. He had a big number one record called Home, but that's not the one you said is on this list. Wow.
Teo Cruz with Dynamite.
Okay.
Psy's Gangnam Style was sixth. Adele's Rolling in the Deep was fifth. Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling, was fourth. Fun, again on the list with We Are Young. Gautier, Somebody That I Used to Know, was the second best-selling MP3 of all time from Amazon. What do you think number one was? Any guesses? Yes, I Love Chinese Food, number one. No. Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe, number one MP3 of all time on Amazon.
Well, I can see that, I guess.
I think I can, too. A lot of people are saying this has been a rough year. I'm telling you, 2014 is going to be better. I'm seeing inklings that good things will come to us in 2014. Let me give you a few examples. Chris Brown's probation has been revoked.
Is he going to jail?
Well, that's the sad news. He's not going to jail, at least not yet. Because apparently the judge who presided over the case said Chris was not going to jail because he's pleased at how well Chris is doing in his anger management rehab.
Meaning he hasn't beat anybody up in the last month?
Since he's been in rehab, exactly. There is another hearing scheduled for February. At that time, Chris could end up behind bars because of those assault charges filed against him in Washington, D.C. when he beat up that guy who tried to photobomb him.
Right.
Chris is also not allowed to use his medical marijuana as a part of his new probation, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if you want Chris not stoned. I think you want him as stoned as possible.
Yeah, he's an angry guy. Yeah.
Right.
Anything to take the edge off, I think, is a good idea. But he might be in jail next year, so we've got that to look forward to. And, more importantly, Kristen Stewart apparently is over show business.
Really?
Yeah, National Enquirer is reporting it, so take that for what it's worth. But they say she wants to move out of Los Angeles and dreams of raising organic produce in the mountains of Idaho.
Yeah!
Let her do it.
Let her do it. How great if she was just out there just farming rhubarb instead of being surly and making bad vampire movies.
Well, she never has to work again financially.
That's probably true. But wouldn't it be nice if Chris Stewart bowed out?
Well, she certainly is miserable being an actress.
She sure is. Let me introduce you to the newest Hall of Fame inductees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The class of 2014 has officially been announced. Here they are. Nirvana, Peter Gabriel, Cat Stevens, Linda Ronstadt, Hall & Oates, and Kiss, finally making it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. A lot of people said it would never happen, but...
Yeah. I'm surprised.
The induction ceremony is April 10th.
Because a lot of, critics are involved and people in the music industry who don't think much of Kiss. You know, they've always kind of looked at them as just a, band for little teenage boys or something that doesn't deserve the credibility or the respect. And I'm a little bit surprised that they pulled the trigger on that one. I'm happy, though.
Can't deny their longevity and their power in terms of success, It's ridiculous. And executive producer Lauren Michaels has responded to the furor that was raised about a black woman not being in the cast of Saturday Night Live by adding a black female cast member to Saturday Night Live, which I think is a dangerous precedent to set. If you just let people being cranky dictate what you do with your TV shows, I think you're just inviting more people to be cranky and tell you what you do with your TV shows, don't you think?
I mean, you're basically saying, go ahead and start that petition about why there aren't any Muslims on Saturday Night Live.
Right, or Eskimos.
Or whoever, right.
Afghanis or Aborigines or whatever you want to see on that show. You're starting, if you make enough noise, apparently they're proving that you will get what you ask for. The New York Daily News reports that three women have been offered callbacks for the audition so far. Three different actresses of color that will, one of them will end up on the show in January, according to Lorne Michaels and NBC. So we will have a female black cast member on SNL.
Oh, here we go. It's on.
It's not. No, it's not a race war.
Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down.
I'm just. Come on. No, it's not. It's not. The sad part is, I think for whoever they pick, is it no matter how talented she is, she will always be known as a token.
Yeah,
you're going in under a cloud.
Right. Even if she's great, you're like, well, you're only on Saturday Night Live because they needed a black woman to satisfy the politically correct. So, but still, it's a great career opportunity for somebody. And former Disney teen star Dylan Sprouse accidentally leaked some naked selfies onto the internet this week.
Now, what was the circumstance here, Ruff? Was he chatting up a fan online or something, and they got to sexting?
It's a mystery. He says he's responsible, but no one really knows how they got leaked. But he did take ownership of it, and it's two photos. One of him making a muscle in the mirror in his bathroom, taking a picture of that, and then another picture of him just holding his junk nude.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Stop it.
You got to know who you're sending your naked photos to, because really this girl apparently immediately uploaded them to Tumblr as soon as she got them.
Yeah. So it could have been worse. He is covered up, basically, in both of those pictures, but it is a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I'm not 14 anymore. I'm all grown up. And I'm a douchebag. I didn't say that. But, according to sources, it's the first time a male Disney star has appeared without pants on in public since Donald Duck. So,
there you go.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Because Donald Duck never had pants on, Beer Mug. I don't know if you know that or not.
It's awesome.
I've been on that. Speaking of ducks, Phil Robertson of the Duck Dynasty clan skipped out on a Barbara Walters interview for her Most Fascinating People special that she's going to be airing next month on ABC. Here's the reason why. He wanted to go duck hunting. And the schedules were conflicting, so he ditched Barbara Walters and went duck hunting instead.
Seems like he has plenty of time to duck hunt.
You would think. You could carve out an hour for Barbara and then probably go kill ducks after that, couldn't you? Or kill them beforehand.
Hunting doves. It's one of my most favorite activities.
Is it?
Because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
Or kill two birds, one stone and shoot at Barbara Walters while she's interviewing her.
There you go.
That would be fun.
I'll tell you who's not happy about that is the channel that's got Duck Dynasty, who probably would have appreciated a little network primetime publicity for their show.
Well, I believe the rest of the family did show up. All the other Robertsons were there, but Phil did not attend. Yeah, I think Robbie Robertson was there. And
oh, he's good.
All the other Robertsons. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters, 68 years old today, as is Hardball host Chris Matthews, Eugene Levy, 67. Bill Pullman, the actor, is 60. Peter Farrelly of the directing, writing, producing Farrelly Brothers is 57. Mike Mills, bassist for R.E.M., is 55. Actress Lori Holden is 44 years old. UFC veteran Chuck Liddell is 44 years old. Sean Patrick Thomas, the actor, turns 43. Giovanni Ribisi, 39 years old. Actress Sarah Paulson turns 39 as well. Mila Jovovich is 38 years old. Manny Pacquiao, 35. It's old for a boxer. He's going to give it up. Jennifer Carpenter is 34 years old. Ben Goldwasser of MGMT turns 31. And Taylor York, guitarist for Paramore. Oh, I love Paramore. 24 years old today. Do we have that audio of Dave the King of Mexico asking someone who was from Tennessee if they enjoyed Paramore's music as much as he did?
I believe he was talking to Megan Fox, I want to say, who's also from Tennessee.
I think that's who he was talking to.
That's who he was talking to?
Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan of Paramore as I am?
Good question. Who's happier than Dave that Beer Mug has taken over the red carpet interviews, really? It makes him look good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. I'm looking ahead toward tomorrow's schedule here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got another all-new program for you tomorrow. And I see that Ralph has requested some time.
Yes.
And that makes me a little bit nervous.
List tomorrow.
Top 10 what?
My own top 10 list.
Of what?
It's just his list.
Of things that have been listed 1 through 10.
And you're counting down what?
For the year's top 10.
And the category of the lists will be what?
Be
things
ten.
That can be quantified from 10 like to 1 from this year.
I have a feeling I'm not going to enjoy that, but that will happen at some point tomorrow. Also, today we talked to David Koechner from Anchorman 2. Tomorrow, we talked to Brick himself. Steve Carell is going to be joining us on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And some of our very favorite guests make their final appearance for 2013. Joe Rogan will be here in the 7 o'clock hour. Bobcat Goldthwait will be here in the 9 o'clock hour.
Oh.
Jimmy Kimmel will be here in the 8 o'clock hour.
Oh, my.
Along with Santa Carl, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
How great is that for the kids?
It's the best. I love Santa Carl.
Tomorrow morning.
For the kids, really. Good for us. It's not so great for the kids.
All of that tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous